Bill 254 to order at 9:11 a.m. on May the 4th, 1994. Is there anything anybody would like to bring up? Where would we like to start? Sure. Senator Little, if I call you representative at the slip.
Okay. I was hoping that we could limit our discussions to the part that I believe provided us, at least in the Senate, the most controversy, and that was the part applying the act to the legislature. I don't know if that's a possibility, but it certainly was really the only place, I think, that there was controversy in the Senate, and I think it's possibly true in the House as well. I have a letter signed by some representatives from the House agreeing to or urging us to retain the main body of the bill and working on only that part of the bill that applies to the legislature. So I just wanted to advocate for that, so much hard work went into the main body of the bill, and that's not to say that it's perfect, but I think it's a pretty darn good version. So I'll stop there and see what we can decide on that issue.
Well, Senator Little, if we are going to address sections 10, 9, and 8, I believe. No, 10 and 9, I believe are the sections you're referring to. They are not addressed. There's nothing comparable to those in the House version of the bill. And if we're going to address those sections and make any changes whatsoever, it would require a minimum limited powers of free conference. And we would have to go to the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House and ask for limited powers of free conference.
No, that's not right.
We can adopt, if the committee were willing, you can adopt any section out of any bill.
Right? Yes, we can adopt as is.
As is.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I thought you were talking about amending Section 9 and 10. That would, other than go to the House version or the Senate version, since there's nothing in the House version on this subject, if we're going to amend this subject, it would take...
Then you would have to go to the...
Right, then you have to get limited powers.
But you can delete stuff or approve
stuff.
You can
delete stuff, go back to the House version, or we can adopt the Senate version.
Right. That's correct. If
Mackey.
Yeah, just as far as opening comments on this, I clearly believe at a minimum we should have... I think that there's one area of controversy also. I believe that the Senate rules version that was put on the floor is the one that I believe to be a compromise position from Municipal League and everybody that was involved in trying to negotiate that. However, having said that, I mean, the amendment that was put on in the floor of the Senate removing the legislature, I believe, is the one area of controversy in the House. However, I'm not saying that problem don't exist with what was trying to be addressed by the amendment on the Senate side. My concern is, unless we fix that and then deal with our own open meetings situation, that there's a possibility of losing the whole package. And you know, I certainly am not in favor of that, because I think that we're long overdue to fix the open meetings situation for the municipalities and school districts in this state. I think we have it within ourselves to deal with our own situation as far as the open meetings, whether we need to go back and redo those or whether we need to, whatever we need to do, we need to take care of it ourselves and not have it affect the open meetings for all the political subdivisions of the state. So I guess that's where I'm at on this.
I'm not quite sure I followed that, but... Further comments?
Mr. Chairman, I think Section 9 and 10, of course, are the areas of major controversy, and I guess I would think it may be necessary to ask for limited powers of free conference on those two sections. I think there's some middle ground that may solve the problem. I don't think anyone in the Senate wanted to say just that we shouldn't be under the Open Meetings Act at all. We just wanted to have a better understanding of how those guidelines were to be drawn and how they were to be applied. For example, I think it could be a compromise position, at least from my view, and I am talking about this, to rewrite that section to put together a committee that an advisory committee to the Ethics Committee. that the Ethics Committee would still be charged with drawing the guidelines, but to make that an advisory committee, and at the same time delay the effective date of the application of those guidelines until January 1st of 95, so that the work can be done over a period of time. We won't be in session, so there wouldn't be the great concern with the violation of the Open Meetings Act that you have during a legislative session. It can be done during the interim with this advisory committee of legislators working with the Ethics Committee to draw some guidelines that are rational and make sense, and that the guidelines could then be applied to legislature beginning January 1st of 95. I just tossed that out as a possible compromise position, which would then give us all time. The thing that happened this year, unfortunately, and I guess, you know, everybody can say it was our fault, but what happened is the Ethics Committee, we were drawing guidelines for the Open Meetings Act during the heat of a legislative session when most of us had no time, even if we'd have wanted to spend hours, didn't have time to follow that process, to meet with the Ethics Committee, and to have our input into it. And even, and I'm not, that's not being critical of the members of the Ethics Committee who serve, because they also had the same constraints we have. They had legislative hearings and duties to perform. So it seems to me more logical to say, yeah, we'll be under, we want an advisory committee that, in addition to those legislators who serve on there, whose direct job is to have input into the drafting of those guidelines, and they will take effect January 1st, 95. I have a delayed effective date on it.
My personal reaction would be, well, we are an advisory committee. I mean, they can take advice from anybody they want, and they can do with it whatever they want to.
Well, but I think if you put it into law, I mean, right now, I guess they can, but if you, and I don't know how we'd work this out, how we'd draft it, and I tossed it out without having all the language in mind or how we'd draft it, but to make it clear that there has to be that type of working relationship, which I don't think necessarily existed this time. I mean, they announced the hearings, they admit no one showed up to them, that legislators weren't there, and not because we weren't interested, but because we didn't have time. And I'm not being critical of anybody who sat on that committee, but I don't think anybody had the opportunity, most legislators had the opportunity to participate in that process as much as they would have liked to. I know I got on my desk two or three times draft guidelines. I would read through them, but I was never able to get to one of their meetings or respond to it, and not because I didn't want to, but because I didn't have the time. So that's basically what I'm suggesting. And maybe if you don't think we need an advisory committee, at least make it a delayed effective date. But I think establishing an open meetings committee, such as proposed by Senator Taylor on the floor, makes a lot of sense and gives us a lot more impact on those regulations.
Representative Mackey?
Unless we... Okay, well, first of all, I take exception to some of what you said. I'm not going to deny that we need to go back and revisit the issue of the open meetings guidelines as it applies to the legislature. However, having served on being on the Ethics Committee and having served on the subcommittee, I mean, you can't have open meetings guidelines unless you have guidelines that say something. And I think that, if this isn't the correct forum, but I mean, I think if we sat down and talked about some of them, it's very obvious that some of the things need to be clarified and maybe even need to be changed. I was one of the ones that worked on it, being part of the Ethics Committee, and I personally sent packets to everybody throughout the process. As the different stages, we made many, many changes to those guidelines for the legislatures based on comments that I got back. And I got back lots of comments from senators and representatives on the draft guidelines. Many changes were made. Legislators did come and testify on it, on the record, on some of the changes, and we received lots in writing. Now, if everybody else was too busy, there's not much we can do about that. The Ethics Committee followed the guidelines as to what they were required to do and did the best job they can. If there's objection to that, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I think they can go back and try to fix it. What I do disagree with is compromising the Open Meetings Act law for all the municipalities and the school districts because of our own housekeeping that needs to be done.
We can suggest that.
Well, I don't have any problem with what you suggested. But I do have a problem with saying that the Ethics Committee didn't know what they're doing, what they were doing, or didn't have any input, or everybody was too busy, because I think that's inaccurate.
Well, don't take it personal.
Must be the end of the session.
But please don't take that personal. But I do know that I've talked to many senators who didn't have the opportunity to participate, and it's not anything personal against you, Representative Mackey, and I didn't mean to imply that it was. But I would say, for example, I mean, there's some obvious holes in the guidelines. For example, it never made sense to me that the committee rooms on the fifth floor and the second floor of the legislature were public space, but none of the other committee rooms were. And when I asked you that question, you said, oh, well, I guess we never thought about that. That's the point that I'm making. Only the point I'm making. And the only only point I was making on deferring any of this was just that section 9 and 10. The rest of it would take place immediately. I'm not trying to do anything to the rest of the bill, but just to say, let's give ourselves a little more time to do this rationally and well thought out. And I have no gripe then January 1st if I don't like the guidelines, because I'll have every opportunity to participate.
Okay.
Excuse me a second. Senator Little, you are requesting the floor.
Thank you. Just being involved in the process, actually not even all of the process, in dealing with the main body of this bill, I can tell you that it takes a whole lot of work in this particular arena to come up with something that is workable. And every time we thought we'd have, excuse me, the perfect bill, someone would say, well, what about this? Something that we hadn't thought about before. And I kind of think that's what we're going to have to go through with the legislature, make sure lots of people are involved, public members, everybody we can involve, we should get involved in the process to get their concerns relating this act to the legislature, because there are things that me, by myself alone, wouldn't think of, or, you know, maybe a committee of people wouldn't think of. But I think we have a pretty darn good start with applying the act to the legislature. We just need to keep working on it, and we need more input and refinement, and it can get there, I think.
Representative Mackey, I'm sorry. Representative Taylor, you have a spoken. Senator Taylor, I'm sorry.
We've worked for well over a year now to try and build consensus on what I think is probably one of the most controversial and emotional topics you can find in Alaska. And I think we've been very successful in that, really. There's an awful lot of people that have gotten off the trampolines and are down on the ground level, and they're talking to one another. And this bill itself is probably far from perfect, and we're going to have to live with something like this for a while, see if it's going to work, and maybe have to do some fine-tuning later. At every meeting, I ask the same question. Does anybody have an idea how this thing can apply to the legislature? And there was silence. I'm still asking the same question, and I looked at the guidelines. I think most of us that have been around here for a while agree that the guidelines are far from perfect and have some major difficulties inherent within them that have been proposed by the Ethics Committee. And that's not they didn't try to do a good job, it's they didn't know. They don't know how this system works around here. Those people that are aware of what Juneau is all about, aware of what this legislature does and has to do, it doesn't have a choice on a lot of this stuff, are just as dumbfounded as I when it comes to suggesting a meaningful application of this law onto this body. We felt there was only one way to go. Try and find a way to build consensus, take the time to develop a rational solution, and let that solution come back again. Whether that is, as Jim has suggested, instead of having it autonomous to the legislature as the amendment currently provides, probably is wiser to have that group work under the direction of the Ethics Committee. I'd have certainly no objection to that. Whatever meaningful process this conference committee can come up with that will provide for the first time an application of this law to the legislature. At this point, there has never been, and there's a Supreme Court case that says we do not fall within because of the inability to enforce this law. I'd like to see the legislature brought within the Open Meetings Act. That was the reason for the amendment, not as the press portrayed it, to exclude ourselves from it, but to start the first step in the process of bringing the legislature within it. And I think with that affirmative attitude in mind, if we can all build a few bridges here, we can put that together and we can come up with a bill that not only solves the problems of the municipalities and the school boards, but also makes that first major step towards bringing this legislature within that act. And I think those are good things to work on.
Well, Senator Taylor, I will comment that I do think that the amendments that were made on the floor of the Senate have been misunderstood substantially of what they actually say and would actually do, as opposed to what people think they say and do. Representative Mackey, you had a comment.
No, so I don't have any problem in doing something as Senator Duncan suggested, or, you know, in sitting down and trying to work up something that, first of all, I don't, you know, having tried to work along with them to make them understand why the legislature is unique. I mean, the need for caucusing and the need for a number of things that makes the legislature more unique than municipal governments. I believe the legislature does need to have different Open Meetings Act guidelines just because of the nature of what we're doing here. You know, my main concern is not, you know, and I don't want anybody to think I'm taking it personal. I'm just saying that, you know, for somebody to come out and say, well, they didn't know what the heck they were doing or anything else is not accurate, or nobody had any participation, that's not quite accurate, and I'll leave it at that. But I would suggest that we just approve sections 1 through 8 of the Senate rules version and ask for limited or free powers of conference on sections 9 and 10, and in the meantime, we could work out something that would have either a delayed effective date or this committee or something perhaps that we could work out to come back and put into this that everybody could agree to, and not have the public perception, for one thing, out there, such as Senator Taylor said, maybe it was misconstrued, that we just want to exempt ourselves from Open Meetings Act guidelines. And I don't think that's anybody's intention, nor is it anything anybody wants. What I definitely don't want to do is go back to the House version. With no disrespect to the chairman, I think that the Senate rules version is the compromise package that works as well as possible for everybody. And you know, we can go back and ask exactly well, Senator Duncan.
Without any
can
question.
I finish?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Go back without and ask for free powers of conference to work out some sort of a compromise on sections 9 and 10. I think that's a great suggestion. Thank you.
I can assure you that there is absolutely no point in taking sections 1 through 8 to the House, and they won't go anywhere. The problem we have in the House, of course, mostly I didn't count all the votes, but Representative Mackey, as you know, most of the minority members, though not all, voted against the concurrence of this bill. A large number of the majority members voted against the concurrence of this bill for numerous different reasons. But from talking to members in the majority, there's no doubt in my mind that taking sections 1 through 8 to the House would be a waste of time.
I was just wondering what the concern is.
Several concerns that I've heard expressed. Primarily, the House was attempting, in the bill it passed last year, to create a level playing field that all elected bodies could, all governmental bodies could operate under. Sections 1 through 8 create a level playing field for small municipal governments where you have a body of, say, 7 people. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about a larger body, a body that does a lot of teleconferences, typically, and that sort of thing, then the bill is no longer a level playing field. I think that the House, and you know, I would defer here to Representative Mackey, I think the House is amenable to the concept in Section 9 and 10. I'm not quite certain what it would take to allay a lot of the concerns, and I have no idea what it would take to allay the concerns of some of the minority members. Perhaps Senator or Representative Mackey could comment. Senator Little, you
just one other comment. there are very few entities, municipal entities, governmental entities that would be, as you say, having the playing field tipped somewhat. And I think that the bill, as it's written, treats those entities well. They can still have those teleconferences. They can still meet, discuss business, vote in teleconferences, so long as the meeting is noticed and so forth. So you know, I kind of feel like you know, of the municipalities that we have, there are only 3 that have 11 member bodies, and so those, if you're talking about the majority of a quorum issue, those 3 are the only ones that would have one less person able to meet in the without noticing a meeting. And you know, all of the municipalities that have contacted me are much in favor of the Senate version of the bill and are very happy to live with it. They just want something that clarifies what a meeting is, because they're right now living in limbo, as we all know.
Senator Duncan?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm not sure I agree with your analysis of why the House voted which way, but I'm not one to judge that. I guess I'm trying to recall, what was the vote on concurrence in the House?
I recall it was 15 to 23.
So you're six short. And six short, and I look at the list of folks who signed the letter saying change if we have compromise language in sections 9 and 10, I think all the folks who voted no are on this letter, 14 or 15 of them, which means all of a sudden that vote, if you change 9 and 10, that vote for concurrence in the House flops over, and you probably have 30 votes in favor of the bill.
Okay. Oh, here, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I haven't checked the names. But I think they're all no votes against the concurrence in the Senate bill, and they've now said change 9 or 10, and we'll support it.
Well, I see only minority members on this list.
Well, they have a vote.
Yeah.
But many, some of them, I think, voted for it.
Let's see. I see Nordland, and he was a no vote. Finkelstein was a no vote. Willis was a no vote. Hoffman was a no vote. Menard. Let's see. He wasn't there. He was excused, so he becomes a yes vote. Davies was a no vote. Brown was a no vote. Bryce
was absent.
Navarre was a no vote. Carney was a no vote. Davis was a no vote. Anyway, I think the point
is it doesn't add up because nine majority members voted no.
Sure, and that means
there's 15 names in this list, so it doesn't add up.
These are all minority members.
There's nine majority members voted no.
Mr. Chairman?
So it doesn't add up. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, you suggested that maybe I might be able to clarify your comment earlier about why the House voted no. First of all, I voted yes for concurrence. And the reason I voted yes for concurrence is because I honestly believe that the package that was brought forth in the Senate rules, that the Senate obviously did a good job in bringing everybody together and coming up with the compromise package. The only reason, and maybe you and a few other people might be an exception, but I guarantee you the only reason the House minority voted no was because of Sections 9 and 10. And, I mean, if gambling were allowed and I were a betting man, I would bet everything I had to tell you that if we put the Senate rules version and worked out some compromise language as we talked about on Sections 9 and 10, that the bill would probably pass by a 90% margin. And I feel absolutely strongly about that. The only reason anybody voted no, at least in the House minority, was clearly because the day before or 2 days before, there was a headline that said the legislature wants to exempt itself, and that's what the public believed, and that's the only reason why they said we have to go back and we have to work on that, we have to fix it. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would move that the conference committee adopt sections 1 through 8 and section 11 of the Senate Rules Committee version, and that sections 9 and 10, that we request powers of free conference and hold those sections open to work out a compromise on that section.
Yeah, I will object to the motion. Discussion, Representative Senator Taylor?
Yeah. I appreciate the motion. I wanted you to understand, and I think the public needs to understand, that it would have been available within the Senate for us to have done a cram down and accepted and adopted the first bill, which was the AML bill that I inserted in the Judiciary Committee as a committee substitute over the House bill. We could have done that with 11 votes at any time. But there has never been, in our caucus, a desire to do that on this subject. We felt that it was abundantly beneficial to all parties, and especially to the state, to work out a compromise. And it took a lot of work, and I'm very proud of the work that the group did. It wasn't easy. There was a lot of give and take to get to these sections that are now before us on a vote. It took a lot of bridge building. And I think if we can do just a little bit more of this with the House, we can accomplish a package that everybody can feel pretty good about going home. It isn't as far as many people would have liked to have gone, but it gets us a good step in that direction. And with that, I'll conclude, but I do support the motion.
Okay. The only reason I objected, and I do think I understand where you're trying to go, Representative Mackey, I have looked at sections 1 through 8, and I have at least one amendment that I would like to propose, the first one of which is I do think that we have a problem with our proposal on how we govern teleconferences. The reason I make that statement is I think the teleconference is a very important part of open government, especially in a state the size of the state of Alaska. And I don't think that it is our desire to open actions of governmental bodies to lawsuits because of the difficulty of, or the obstacles of having materials, quote-unquote, at the teleconference sites. I think that all government officials endeavor to make their teleconference sites productive, but I do think that we are being remiss if we leave that as grounds for a lawsuit. I would like this committee to address that issue. Senator Little?
On that point, Mr. Chairman, we discussed the words, if practicable, ad nauseum. And came up with and agreed on these words after going through a whole bunch of different words and throwing them out because we felt that, and the attorneys present felt that this would be pretty workable. And it would provide protection in a court case for municipalities or we're not really talking about the legislature, but for municipalities, if
we might be talking about the legislature. So keep that in mind.
Well, we could be. That's true. But it depends on what happens with the rear end of the bill there.
Senator Little, I think, but let me just say, if I may, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I can state my feelings, but very simply, why would I expose myself to a lawsuit when I can avoid it by not having a teleconference? And that's what we're talking about. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, there are. I understand your concern, but I believe that the bill, as written, really provides good protections for municipalities. In that, you know, this, if practicable, does provide solves two problems. It gets the materials there if it's possible, and provides a protection to municipalities. If it doesn't get there. Also, in the Senate version, we do have means of protection to undo a meeting that may be contested as not following the Open Meetings Act. So there is some, I think, I understand your fears, but I think there are ways to fix those problems if anyone came in and said, listen, this meeting wasn't under the Open Meetings Act, what didn't follow the act because I didn't have this piece of paper that other people had at other teleconferences, all that the municipal entity would have to do is reconvene, have a substantive discussion about the issue, and make a new vote on the issue to kind of get themselves out of any hot water. So I really feel that the language in the bill, because of the added protections, is okay.
Any other comments? I did not make a motion. I threw it out for discussion. If there's no other support, obviously it won't pass.
I think your comment, though, is well taken to this extent. The motion is very broad in that it encompasses all 8 of the first sections and 11, which is the effective date section. So all of those amendments which might be proposed within those sections are certainly subjects of appropriate discussion at this time. I'm satisfied, as I said earlier, with the Senate version. But of course,
I would like to make the same comment on part about the executive session motion being stated with specificity. I would just like to point out to this group that I think we are, again, inviting an opportunity for a lawsuit there. I think I understand the intent. I think it's implied in other areas of law that motions for executive sessions do have to have a certain amount of specificity, but I think any time you open yourselves to a lawsuit, you are making a mistake if you're not doing it for a very good reason.
I could respond to that just briefly. I wear a couple different hats, and during the interim, I serve as a city attorney for the community of Wrangell. And I've noted over the years, I've done this for a couple different communities, but when people on a city council or a school board wish to move into executive session, we're talking, these are lay people that don't normally state motions with great specificity. They just will kind of say, well, I want to make a motion that does such and such. Well, that's not the way it's properly phrased, but everybody understands, and so they go along with it. One of the biggest problems is that whenever you enter the field of executive session, it is a highly limited area that we're not supposed to be going into unless we're going to do it for very specific reasons, and the law delineates those reasons. To the extent that the convening body should state that with as specifically as they can, every city attorney out there would applaud this language, because you always want them to state it more specifically than they do, because they can do that. They can state it rather specifically and still not hurt themselves at all about what they're going to be discussing or give away anything they're going to be discussing in the meeting. I mean, what does it hurt to say we're going to go into executive session to talk about a labor contract and to meet with our negotiator who has certain things he wants to discuss with us? And they could even go so far as to say about the wages we will be paying our employees in the near future. That's very specific. It certainly tells the folks what they're going to be talking about, but it doesn't tell them what the essence of the subjects are going to be discussed. It limits them on what they will discuss so that when you find yourself in an executive session and somebody else says, your good buddy from down the street who just got elected, and he says, yeah, now that that's out of the way, I want to bring up this stuff about that school principal. We ought to get rid of him. Well, you can't talk about that. And the members need to know that when they walk through the door. They're going in there for one specific reason. And now if we want to talk about the school principal and how we're going to get rid of him because he's a bad egg, you better go back outside, make another motion, and say, we're going to talk about personnel matters. In other words, there's a lot of us out there that have to work with this every day that would love to have this section in there, so that they will have to state it. Does it then engender further suits? I don't think so. I think what it does is it just raises the standard for everyone that reads that thing. It says, oh, we got to specifically state this one, Fred. We better do it. For that reason, I support it. I really do.
Well, I think you made a good argument for my position, but...
I may have done that, too.
Well, seeing no other support for that... The motion is, this is a meeting of the Conference Committee on House Bill 254, convened at 12:44 p.m., May the 10th, 1994. Representative Mackey, do you have a proposal to put to the committee?
Actually, it's Senator Duncan.
Senator Duncan, do you have a proposal to put to the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I passed out a proposal, which is, I consider to be mid-ground between the proposal I submitted the other day and the proposal Representative Mackey did. My first proposal was that the legislature had to disapprove or they took effect. Representative Mackey's proposal was that there should be approval before they took effect. This mid-ground is that there will be approval, that the guidelines are submitted by January 16, 1995. They will be submitted to the legislature. The guidelines take effect when the legislature adopts a concurrent resolution approving them. And I have in here the 30th day. That date can be changed. Maybe the 45th date, as has been suggested, might be better. I also have a provision in this, and if they are disapproved by a vote, then the committee resubmits within 60 days new guidelines so that we are sure we're going on record on this. I had added, which I think is an important consideration, the proposal that if no action is taken, because the fear always will be that some committee or an individual, as we know how the process works, would have enough power to never bring it to a vote, that if that didn't happen by the 45th day, that they would automatically take effect. That seems to be maybe an area of disagreement on this committee, but it seems to me that we need to have some type of hammer to ensure that the guidelines are brought to a vote of the body, and if they're turned down by the body, then fine, we're on record. And I may vote to do that because I voted to do it, you know, several days ago, but at least there's a recorded vote and we don't allow one individual or a committee to fail to bring those to the floor for debate and discussion. Without that hammer, you know, what we put into law we've done this before. We've had requirements in law that the legislature do certain things by certain dates, and we just ignore it. And there's not anything anybody can do about it other than the public pressure, because you can't force the legislature to follow the law. We should, but you can't. And I think the hammer of saying that if they're not voted on and either approved or disapproved by a certain date, they take effect is an important hammer, but I'm willing to listen to the discussion on that. And that's the proposal. It's mid-ground between what Representative Mackey and I had both proposed the other day.
Other comment? Representative Senator Taylor?
Well, Senator Little, go ahead. She's been working
Senator Little?
I'm in agreement with Senator Duncan. I believe that this is a good middle ground, a good compromise. Instead of having disapproval and instead of having approval, we would have approval and action required within probably 45 days, depending on what number we ended up with there. I think it's a good middle ground, a good compromise for us to reach as far as implementation of whatever the committee comes up with.
Senator Taylor?
Well, I'm not willing to give the committee a blank check over this place based on whether or not action takes place. I think there's going to be more than enough public pressure to keep the heat on until they do something about this. But to barely say, I mean, the easiest thing going around here is to kill something. It's very difficult to create it. And that certainly should be apparent to all of us today as we're watching various bills on both sides die. Now, if in fact we're going to have a set of guidelines, I think they need to be approved by the legislature, not approved out of neglect in failing to pass something, or not approved because somebody was able to use their power to kill it, because this places the benefit of that hammer on the advocate for imposing guidelines on the legislature. By merely stopping the legislature from acting, this would allow them to go into effect whatever that committee may have come up with. I don't think that's an appropriate way to handle it either.
Senator Little?
Well, your argument is correct except for one thing, in that the legislature could meet and turn down the recommendations and they wouldn't go into effect. And then the committee would have 60 days more to come up with new proposed guidelines. So I don't see that this makes us, that I don't see that this as the legislature being stuck with anything we don't want, if that's your concern. If your concern is that this forces us to accept something, I don't see that that's true. I see that we still have the option, the legislature still has the option to turn down whatever is submitted within 45 days, and then the committee would resubmit new guidelines. I think this is a decent proposal.
Senator Duncan?
Well, it works both ways. I mean, yeah, Senator Taylor is right in there. Let's say we have a strong advocate of stringent open meeting guidelines, and he happens to be, or he or she happens to be, the chair of a certain committee. Senator Taylor's right that individual, if they think
with weak ones,
right? Yeah, they could sit on the bill. Or let's say we have an advocate of someone who doesn't want any guidelines. If they goes to committee, they could also sit on the bill. So it works both ways. It surely does. So, but I think it's more likely that the public would expect that we should take formal action on the floor and not allow that to happen. And the way to force formal action is to assure that guidelines are going to be in place unless we take a negative action to turn it down.
Or take the other side of it, assume the guidelines disappear if no action is taken and they got to come up with new ones. Would anybody around here be advocating that? It's the other side of the same coin.
Well, I guess all I'm looking for is some safeguard here to ensure the public that there will be, if the legislature decides not to approve the guidelines, not to accept the guidelines that this committee recommended, that there be some public discussion and debate of that just not die. And Senator Taylor, maybe there's some way of wording this so that the guidelines take effect when the legislature adopts a concurrent resolution approving them. Maybe there's some way to ensure that concurrent resolution has a better chance of coming to floor. That I don't know if you can put in the language that resolution shall be referred directly to the Rules Committee for placement on the calendar, instead of allowing it to go to Judiciary or State Affairs or somewhere else. You know, make it one committee that's going to be charged with that, the Rules Committee for
for example.
Why couldn't we put in here, a vote shall occur on it within such and such period?
Well, that's what this says. And we can say that. But I also remember, my concern is, I remember when we thought it was a great idea that Congress had to require that, you know, Congress has a requirement of approval of resolutions of the budget authority each year. And former Governor Cooper, when he was representative, decided that was a great idea to force the legislature to take early action on the budget to require that we pass a concurrent resolution by the 30th day saying how much we were going to spend, and by the 60th day have it broken down by departments. We never did it. We broke the law, and there's nothing anybody could do about it, right? Because we couldn't meet that requirement. So the same thing could happen here, would be my concern. I'm looking at some way to ensure that the public focuses in on, I mean, the legislature, and it's clear to the legislature and public, there's got to be a vote by a certain date, and focuses in on where the responsibility of bringing it to the floor rests, right?
I think we understand the two sides of this coin.
I would just comment for the committee's benefit that I would have trouble endorsing anything. Well, I wouldn't have trouble, wouldn't be able to endorse anything that involved the legislature attempting to abrogate its responsibility to act as a legislature. We cannot delegate this legislative authority to anybody, even if we wanted to. And we can agree to govern ourselves within ourselves in any way we see fit, and the courts recognize that. But we can't delegate our legislative authority.
I got a proposal then.
And each of these ideas, I think, keeps the authority with the legislature.
But I would beg to disagree. I think when you let something become in effect law by inaction on the part of the legislature, I would have trouble endorsing that concept. I mean, the legislature should take deliberate action. Was it done? Senator Duncan?
Yes, thank you. I guess maybe then, and I don't have it written down here, but I think the idea is that the legislature adopts a concurrent resolution approving them by the 45th day is a reasonable approach. I think if we added the line maybe before that the legislature shall vote on a concurrent resolution adopting these recommendations by the 45th day. That's as strong a language as you can get.
I have no objection to that.
Yeah, approval, legislative approval within 45 days.
Well, but saying in statute the legislature shall
actually saying vote that they shall vote
on a concurrent resolution
right.
by the 45th day.
Before the 45th day.
Right. So it's clear to the public that that's the direction that the legislature has under the law, and those of us who think that the legislature is stalling on that can bring public pressure to bear.
Representative Mackey?
Yeah, I think if it says shall vote by the 45th day, then as Senator Taylor's pointed out, that, you know, can be debated on the floor of the both bodies, and it'll go up or down. And the legislature will approve or disapprove based on what was submitted, and that will be done in the public, and you know, people can be held to answer for their yes or no votes. I mean, that's the way it should be. That's the way the system is right now.
Senator Little?
I just was wondering what the consequence of not voting within 45 days would be, because I see none.
Senator Duncan?
Well, I don't see as much as I would have liked to see here, but the consequence would be if we say in statute clearly the legislature shall vote by the 45th day, and we don't, I'm quite sure that next year on the 40th day, you will be standing on the floor, if nothing is moving, wondering and making speeches about those guidelines need to be brought to the floor, and that the press will be saying, why is the legislature ignoring the law and not bringing those to the floor, and the public pressure will be there. It's not the safeguard that would be in law saying they will take effect if we don't vote, but it's the safeguard of ensuring that the public knows clearly what's intended and that the legislature's in violation if we don't.
I would comment, I think I agree with Senator Little that we can certainly put it in a statute, but there's no enforcement provision. The courts can't force this legislature to follow its own guidelines.
I agree with that. That's why I wanted the taking effect if we didn't do anything. You didn't want that.
You're correct. I don't. And
even
I
if
don't
it did,
see
the court couldn't enforce it. That's the bottom line that he's suggesting, that has been the problem throughout. And there's one additional problem, a practical one, that we really haven't addressed. All of the people seated on this committee, with the exception of the two members of the Ethics Committee, will very likely, or could very likely, not even be here next year when their recommendation is passed through the Ethics Committee and then handed down as an edict, if you will, to the legislature. Take it or leave it, and if you don't do anything, you eat it. I don't think that that's appropriate. We could have a whole new group here in the House, and at least a portion of the Senate would certainly could be affected by this election. So that's why we can't bind one legislature to the next.
Let's take a brief pause here, if we may.
Does not take action to disapprove them. So it means we would have to act to override the guidelines instead of acting to put them into effect. We'd have to act to stop them from going into effect. And that kind of like we do with executive orders and other... you've got a great sense of humor. Violation of Open Meetings Act and scheduling one and not posting it.
You're right.
That's right. Okay.
Maybe we should just cancel the meeting.
No, I'm talking about the first meeting.
No, it was posted.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Well, Senator Duncan, if you want to argue, we can argue. But if you want to proceed, we can, or we can adjourn the meeting. It's up to you.
It's up to you. You're chairman.
Meeting's adjourned.
Fine.
Come on, you guys.
It's up to Senator Duncan.
No, I said it was up to you. You're the chairman.
You want to argue, Senator Duncan?
I'm not arguing. I was going to offer an amendment.
Let's keep meeting.
I think we're at the end of a session.
Everyone meeting back to order, Senator Duncan. If you want to order,
sure.
It will end very quickly.
Pardon?
If you want to argue, it will end very quickly.
I'm not arguing with you, okay. but if you want to, I'm willing to argue with you. What I was going to offer, Mr. Chairman, and that's why I said, even though we were off the record, and I didn't appreciate your snide comment, what I said was, I have an amendment I will offer to the proposal that's before you. If you'd like to hear that and we're on the record, I'd be happy to offer that.
We're on the record.
Okay. What I would propose, if you have your paper before you, if you look at the first sentence, is I would
page
read
two, right?
Page 2. It says, the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics shall submit proposed initial guidelines to the legislature. New sentence saying, the legislature shall vote on a concurrent resolution approving the guidelines by the 45th day. If the guidelines are voted on but not approved, the committee shall submit new proposed guidelines within 60 days after the resolution was voted on by the legislature. Same language, and delete the or down through the end of day in the next line. And that basically does exactly what we were talking about, that says that they shall vote by the 45th day. If they approve them, they're in effect. If they disapprove them, they shall resubmit by the 60th day.
Yeah, I had the same language.
Just to clarify, so we're basically taking out the second sentence on the first page. Is that correct?
We're taking the second sentence on the second page. We're also taking out the sentence
from or through the
right,
end. Okay,
right.
And then so the sentence that we're adding in says basically the legislature shall vote on a concurrent resolution approving the guidelines within 45 days.
Right.
What else?
We're taking out.
There you go.
We're taking out the language here that says, or if one or both houses of the legislature fails to hold a vote on the question by the 45th day of session, the guidelines will take effect. That's deleted. It would read, the legislature shall vote on a concurrent resolution by the 45th day of the legislative session. The guidelines take effect when the legislature adopts a concurrent resolution approving them, period. If the guidelines are voted on but not approved, the committee shall submit new proposed guidelines within 60 days after the resolution was voted on by the legislature. The new guidelines take effect when the legislature adopts a concurrent resolution approving them. Delete from or through the end of the sentence.
So then it would start again,
right,
if the new guidelines go on and the rest of the paragraph.
Exactly right.
And so all of the places where it says 30 days, it would say 45.
45 days, right.
No, that's out.
Those are stricken.
Those are stuck out.
There's
of there. Only 45 days in the first sentence.
Well, there's that one.
There's this one down here.
That has to be 60, isn't it?
You may have actually one additional if the guidelines or the guidelines are adopted. Approved. You may have a little bit of...
No, I thought that works.
Does it flow good there?
Sure. If the new guidelines are voted on but not approved, the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics shall continue to submit proposed guidelines in accordance with the procedures set out in this subsection.
I agree with that, Jim. If I might, Mr. Chairman, the sentence I thought was probably surplus was a second repeating of the words, the new guidelines take effect when the legislature adopts a resolution approving them.
Yeah,
we took that out. Just above.
Yeah, we took it out. The legislature shall vote on a concurrent resolution within 45 days of the convening of the legislative session.
Yeah, you took it out in the first sentence,
right,
Jim, starting with or. You didn't take it out in the second one. And it's just kind of surplus.
How about if I've got a clean one right here? Why don't we...
That's fine.
He's saying that this
second time down
is
the same sentence.
Oh, okay, yeah, that way down there. I'm sorry,
yeah,
sure. Right.
Senator Little?
I think we might need to get rid of or not voted on just before a B.
Yeah.
I would move, well, let's see, you have an amendment. Let's vote on that.
I just offered the amendment. I'm not in charge of that.
Do we have an amendment for us?
Mm-hmm. Could somebody read the amendment? I'd really like to see it in writing. But
I can read it again if you'd like, Mr. Chairman.
Word for word into the record. Before you do that, what about this 30 down here? Does that need to be changed to 45?
Yes.
Okay. So get it on tape. Because it was kind of confusing.
Okay. I don't need to take it. Let me read it again if I can, okay? And I'll read it into the record. The legislature shall vote on a concurrent resolution within 45 days. The legislature shall vote on a concurrent resolution approving the recommendations within 45 days of the legislative session. If the guidelines are voted on but not approved, the committee shall submit new proposed guidelines within 60 days after the resolution was voted on by the legislature. If the new guidelines are voted on but not approved, Select Committee on Legislative Ethics shall continue to submit proposed guidelines in accordance with procedures set out in the subsection until the initial guidelines are approved. That's basically all it says.
Period.
Are approved. Oh, so
right.
We're not voted on right. Within 30 days?
We don't need that.
Yeah, you have to delete that also.
You have that in rough form in writing there? I can see it again.
Yeah. I think I'm writing the same thing.
The legislature shall vote on
the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics shall submit.
Shall submit initial guidelines
to the legislature. Period. Correct?
Probably should be, and then a new sentence reading, the legislature shall vote on a concurrent resolution approving the guidelines by the 45th day.
Period.
The guidelines take effect when the legislature adopts a concurrent resolution approving them. Period. Striking the remainder of that sentence. Accepting the next sentence as written about the 60 days.
Somebody's making a job suey or
sentence all in its entirety, all the way down to beginning with if the new guidelines are voted on. And then striking the last part of that sentence after the word approved, striking the words or not voted on within a 30-day period and take effect period.
Since we don't have this in writing, I'm still going to refer to it as a conceptual amendment. Senator Little.
I have it in writing.
I was going to say, if we think we have a conceptual amendment that we can agree on, the next step would be to reduce it to writing and review it one more time. We can take a vote on it.
Mr. Okay. Chairman,
would
this suffice?
Why don't we stand at ease and the committee, the secretary can type up real quick.
If the record, which is on the record on the tape, and then having it done by the committee secretary and the drafter afterwards.
I want to make sure that everybody in the committee has complete understanding of what we're doing. It'll just take a few minutes.
Well, I'd suggest why don't we just try to get back together a little bit later on, then, because some of us have other things to do.
That would be
have it typed up. Have legal services type it up. Be sure it's a proper form. Put it together with
the
report when we come back.
We can do that. Well, it'll be a good time for the committee to come back.
We just about got it here, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that's it.
Can I just copy this?
Can I take a look first? See if I can read it.
Her penmanship's a lot better than mine.
I wasn't going to comment on that, but the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics shall submit proposed initial guidelines to the legislature, period. The legislature shall vote on a concurrent resolution approving guidelines within 45 days of the legislative session. If the guidelines are voted on but not approved, the committee shall submit new proposed guidelines within 60 days after the resolution was voted on by the legislature, period. If the new guidelines are voted on but not approved, the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics shall continue to submit proposed guidelines in accordance with the procedures set out in this subsection until the initial guidelines are
approved, period.
Period.
Until the initial guidelines, okay, are approved to scratch out, but that's not supposed to be scratched out.
It's got an okay written in there.
I follow you. Are approved, period.
Mm-hmm. And then section B.
Yeah.
Is that agreeable to the committee?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Hearing no objection, I'll have legislative legal draft this up, and we can...
We have one more amendment that's going to be necessary to clean that up. At the bottom of your page, your committee terminates at a given date. It would not be able to terminate if it had to go back into action again due to the failure of the legislature.
Why don't we say the committee is terminated upon adoption of the...
Just upon adoption.
Of the guidelines by the legislature.
Advisory committee is terminated...
Upon adoption of the guidelines by the legislature, period.
Adoption of the guidelines by the legislature, period.
Do you move that, Senator Little?
Senator.
Is there objection to that amendment? Hearing none, it's adopted. I'll have Ledge Legal draft this up. Nothing on page one changes?
No.
All the changes are on page two. I'll have Ledge Legal draft it up. What would be a convenient time for the committee to get back together?
Do we need to get
back? It's in writing here. If the committee is satisfied with it, it's on the record. I'm satisfied the committee is.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just move that the conference committee report be drafted and signed by all members and submitted to both houses for vote to leadership.
Is there objection to the amendment, to the motion, I'm sorry?
No objection. I'll be signing no rec.
It's fine.
Okay, hearing no objection. is there any reason not to adjourn the meeting? Okay, we stand adjourned at 1:10.
Until
just recess.
Recess till 9 a.m. tomorrow?
We'll stand in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. On May the 5th, 1994,
this is that final
President is Representative Al Veazey, Representative Jerry Mackey, Senator Robin Taylor, and Senator Suzanne Little. Don't really intend to do a lot of business this morning. I understand everybody has meetings they need to get to. I think Representative Mackey has a proposal for amendment he would like to hand out. And does everybody have a copy so that we can peruse it at our convenience? And with that, I would suggest that we recess the meeting till a more convenient time. Does anybody have a suggestion? 4 o'clock?
Well, we...
Who knows how...
Yeah, let's just recess till...
5.
Let's try for 5.
5 o'clock.
Our calendar is about 20 bills long today.
One moment here. Take a brief at ease. I have a State Affairs Committee at 4:15, but that's fine. The 5 o'clock would not conflict with that.
We shoot for then?
We'll stand in recess until 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Thank you.